you'd open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians tonight. Won't be in 1 Samuel, I'm so sorry. I will not. I talked to him yesterday afternoon. He called me, and I was actually going to try to go with him over there for that revival service, but he had to leave early, so I wasn't able. I started a new job this week. Wasn't able to get off work early, of course, and so he had to go on his own. But he said they've been having wonderful service. He desired our prayers. And I told him, I said, Brother Darren, you know I will not try to even begin to fill your shoes. And I'm not going to touch where you're at. So I'm just going to go and share a few things of what the Lord's laid on my heart. And, you know, as I said Sunday night, I want to be a help. I always want to be a help. And so hopefully I'll say something that will be of an encouragement to somebody here. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, and we'll read a few verses here, and I will begin reading in verse 1. And it says, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do come bow before your throne this evening. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and privilege, Lord, to come out to prayer meet. And I thank you, Lord, for each one of these that have come this way. I pray, God, that you would help me to speak your word, Lord, to be an instrument and a vessel that you could use. Lord, that whatever it is needs to be said here might be an encouragement and help, Lord, to those in attendance. Pray, God, for all the sick and the afflicted. Special objects and burdens, Lord, on each and every one of us' heart, Lord, that your hand might go out and touch, Lord, according to thy tender and precious will. Lord, forgive us of our sins, lead, guide, and direct, and we'll be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. As I read over these verses here, I got to thinking, we sung it Sunday night, about that song, Amazing Grace. And the Lord started dealing with me about that song. And I got to thinking about that word grace that you mentioned. And grace, if you look up a definition of it, it's an unmerited gift. And it's a gift from God. Unmerited, mercy goes hand in hand with grace. And something unmerited means that there's nothing I can do to earn it. I can't earn it. It's a gift. And I got to thinking about that song, Amazing Grace. And we have some wonderful talent in our church. And of all the songs and the special songs that we sing, Amazing Grace would probably be up there at the very top, if not the very top, when it comes to songs or hymns. And I got to thinking about those four verses and replaying them in my mind. And so in verse 1 of Amazing Grace, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now that touches me because, quite frankly, I was the wretch that grace saved. And so in verse 1 of Amazing Grace, I see redemption. Redemption. And redemption means to redeem. To redeem is to recover ownership by paying a specified sum, or to set free, to rescue, or to ransom. And Webster's also defines under redemption, I found it very interesting, to save from a state of sinfulness and its consequences. That's in Webster's dictionary. But I got to thinking about redemption, how His grace redeems us from sin, and how we are set free, how we are rescued, and how we're ultimately pardoned by grace. In verse 2, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved, and I seemed relieved. The Lord gave me R's in this. The first one being redemption, the second being relief. Relief means to free from pain, anxiety, or fear. So I got to thinking, well, grace, what could that relieve us from? And there was just a multitude of things that flooded my mind concerning grace and what it could relieve our fears from. And so I got to running references over here, and I'm going to read a few to you. You don't have to turn with me. In Psalm 56, in verse 3, actually, I'll probably back up because this is good. This is David. He's complaining of his enemies here. And in Psalm 56, he says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." Verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I will trust in Thee." So I see relief from Him through grace when we're afraid. That only His grace, no matter what the situation is, whether it's it is fearful of a man or sickness, or you're going through some terrible storm or a valley or some kind of oppression, His grace is the only grace that will relieve those fears. And He's the only one that we can put our trust in that ultimately will relieve our fears. So in verse 3, I see, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I see reassurance. You say, how's reassurance, Shane? Well, I'm going to stay in the book of Psalms for that, because reassurance means that we're going to restore confidence. Say, well, restore confidence? How is that going to restore confidence? In Psalms 91, in verse 11, it says, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." That's good. And I'm going to skip over here to verse 14. I want to read this too. The Lord led me as He led me to verse 11. It says, "Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on my high, because He hath known my name." Well, I'm so thankful tonight that I can testify most assuredly that He knows my name. In verse 15, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." So in verse 3 of that wonderful song, I see that He gives us reassurance through dangers. So He's given us redemption. He's relieved our fears through His grace. And He's going to give us reassurance through His grace. And in verse 4, when we've been there 10,000 years, and you know, 10,000 years to me, I'm 41 years old, I mean, it's hard for my mind to comprehend 10,000 years, much less an eternity. But, you know, when I sing that song, I think 10,000 years. 10,000 years, y'all, ain't even going to be the beginning, but I'm going to have to praise Him for what He's done for me on Calvary. Bless His name. And I've been there 10,000 years. Well, I see rewards, eternal rewards. And I want to read something about that. And in the New Testament, let me flip over here to the book of John in chapter 14. John chapter 14. Before I read this, I'll just share something personal with you because the Lord's leading me this way. My papa has had several heart attacks, and one night I had left Awana. It was on a Wednesday night. I'd left Awana and had to go by the hospital. He had been taken up there. My aunt had taken him up there. He had a heart attack. And went in there with him. And, of course, the first thing, at least on my mind, is if one of our family members are sick, especially sick to the point of death or something serious with one of their organs, is their salvation. Making sure that they're, you know, that they're saved, that they're assured of where they're going to spend an eternity. And as I went back there by myself to talk to him, and I'd really never sat down and discussed. I mean, he had professed his salvation to me, but I'd never really had a heart-to-heart talk with him. And so as I went back there in the emergency room that night, and I said, "Papa, I just need to know something." And he said, "What is that, son?" And I said, "Well, I need to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that, you know, if you die, or am I going to see you in heaven?" And so he began to open up to me and give me a piece of his testimony, which he had never done, about his salvation, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I got home that night and went to pray and just to thank the Lord for a peace that I had of him opening up and sharing that to me. And I got my Bible when I got done praying and got in there on the computer to type some of my thoughts out. And the Lord led me to this particular scripture. And I typed this scripture out and wrote something that if the Lord leads me to, when he passes away, that I'll share with my family, that hopefully will be an encouragement to them as it was me when he shared his testimony. But in chapter 14 and verse 1 it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So in that last verse of Amazing Grace, I see some eternal rewards. Eternal rewards of a place called heaven, where we won't have burdens and sickness and pain and strife and envy and contention and death, and there won't be no grace. We won't have these things. So, you know, we've got rewards, y'all. And I've got down here in my notes about earth's treasures, how temporal they are, about, you know, we all have to work. I mean, around here, we have to work. We have to make a living. We have bills that have to be paid and met. And certainly a lot of stress comes with stuff like that, you know, and we want to provide for our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, our family, but, you know, we won't take none of it with us when we leave here. You know, the only thing that we'll take with us when we leave here is our decision of whether we've accepted or rejected the Son of God. That's the only decision that we will take with us, and ultimately that's the only decision that will matter. So, you know, I just praise him that we do have a home. We do have treasures laid up there and not down here. And I'm going to read another piece of scripture that hopefully will be in 2 Corinthians, a very familiar piece of scripture. But as I was studying this out about grace in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and this is the Apostle Paul. And I got to studying on this. And the Apostle Paul has asked the Lord to remove a thorn in his flesh. And after some studying on this, there's many different viewpoints about what his thorn in the flesh is. Some say it was a speech impediment. Some say it was something with his eye. There again, none of us know. Ultimately, none of us know what his actual thorn in the flesh was. I do believe, though, just by what the Word tells me, that it is something that kept him humble. It kept him humble, whatever this thorn in the flesh was. And it was bad enough that not just once he went to the Lord, but it says thrice. So he went three times to the Lord to ask him to remove it. So for whatever it was, he asked three times. And in verse 9, on the third time, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." His grace is sufficient for us. I got to thinking about that, about his grace, and I really got to dwelling on that about, as far as I know, I'm healthy. You know, I ain't went hungry. My family's over there in the Wana building. And so things that I've went through, storms that might be big to me, are pale in comparison to some storms that y'all might be going through tonight. And I got to thinking about his grace being sufficient, that no matter what somebody might be going through, my Bible tells me that his grace is sufficient for us. Never said it'd be easy, but he says his grace would be sufficient for us, and that his strength would be made perfect in our weakness. So I think that in Apostle Paul's case, he just resided himself that whatever that thorn in his flesh was, it was given to him. He was going to take it. And if you read on, it says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So I think he has, you know, he's just decided in his heart of hearts that whatever it is, that because of the Lord Jesus and his grace that he's bestowed upon him, that he's going to be just fine. And I got to thinking about the Apostle Paul as I was reading this, and how educated he was and how uneducated I am. But as I read on through the letters and the books that Apostle Paul wrote, Paul has a testimony. He has a testimony. And when he's brought before King Agrippa, and if you'll just read that sometime in through here, when he's brought before them, he doesn't try to be educated or bring doctrine to them. He just tells them his testimony about how his personal encounter with the Lord. And, you know, that's all I want to do, and that's all I can do is preach Christ. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, he was crucified, risen on the third day, ascended to heaven, and he's coming back again. That's the gospel. So if I stick with that, you know, with his grace on me, he'll help me. Y'all, I hope some of that's been a help to you, that his grace is sufficient for us no matter what we're going through. I thank him for his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness upon me, all of which none I'm deserving. And I just hope that something I've said has been a help to you tonight. Does anybody have a word on their heart?
For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, and he means to his poverty not to be rich.
Amen. Yeah. He left the splendors of heaven, didn't he, Brother Tommy? Come down here and dwelled amongst us, sinful man, that we might become rich. Anybody have a word on their heart? Hope I said something that was an encouragement to you. If you get down, you go through something, you don't know where to turn, remember that verse, that his grace is sufficient for us. Well, I thank him for his grace. Something that I didn't deserve, unmerited. But he bestowed it upon me anyway. Anybody else? Any word? I don't get in no hurry tonight. I just shared with you what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. Remember our pastor, remember our church, remember each other, all the sick and afflicted. Remember the lost. I got lost family members. I got family members that profess to be saved, but I've not seen any fruit. If I could say a word of encouragement, don't never give up praying. Because I know my mother-in-law, my wife's mother's the godly woman, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, folks, that she never give up praying on me. She never give up praying on me. And boy, I thank her for that. So keep praying. Keep praying. I believe in prayer. Let me say something before I close. The Lord's just laid this on my heart. This church is not my church. I am privileged and very thankful to be a member of this church, of the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. But this church, as a body of believers, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought and paid for this church at Calvary. I don't know why the Lord led me to say that, but it's His church, and we need to work to edify Christ in our church and lift Him up. Lift Him up. Anybody else? If not, Brother Bobby, would you dismiss this priest tonight? Yes, Lord.
Thank you for getting this far and realize that whatever we might face when we leave this place, your grace is going to be sufficient. Lord, there's many options to remind, especially some that enter the mind of the lost, that they are failing. Or they're blinded to the God-given world, through their lives, the victory, and where they're headed. I pray you'll help me as I continue, Lord, to stop and think. When we ask these things in the name of Jesus, in the name of His name, amen.
And you think it'd be all right if I get, before we leave, if I get Brother Calvin to come lead us and we just sing Amazing Grace together? Would that be all right there, buddy?
Yeah.
Would you do that, Brother Calvin?